Like to turn with us. We're going to read two verses out of John, the 16th chapter, and then we're going to have to read the whole chapter, 17th chapter. I know it's going to be a lot of reading, but I pray that you will understand this morning and follow with me. And I pray that God will use this to His honor and glory, and that He'll be uplifted and exalted through this reading. John, the 16th chapter, and the 32nd verse, John 16, 32. And you have heard me many times speak of this chapter. I have never been able to preach from the 17th chapter of the book of John. I have loved the 17th chapter of the book of John, I guess, as long as I've been able to read the Bible. Even before I was saved, I knew there was something special about these verses. But I've never been able to preach about them. I've been able to mention them in passing, but I have never been able to preach these verses. And they're special to me this morning, and I hope and pray that they will be special to you. John, the 16th chapter, and the 32nd verse, it says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And this starts the 17th chapter. It says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to us, to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on earth, and I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known them surely that I come out from Thee. And they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee. And these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name. And I will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." And that's the 17th chapter of the book of John. And with the mistakes that I may have made, I want to take one verse. And you may say, "Preacher, you just read 26 verses, and you're going to try to use one verse out of all those." And I want you to understand this morning that there's a reason that I had to read all of those. If I took one of them and left them all out, they wouldn't make any sense much. I believe that this was a very intimate prayer that Jesus Christ prayed to the Father. I truly believe that. I believe it was something that happened between Jesus Christ and His Father that as you read in different Gospels and how Jesus prayed to the Father, I believe it speaks many times how He prayed and His sweat turned His great drops of blood. This was not just a little prayer that He prayed that was just kind of getting off the ground and went back down. No, this was a prayer for every single person that would ever live. I want to take one verse this morning, if the Lord will be our helper, in the 9th verse. And I'm just going to use a portion of it. I pray for them. John 17:9, I pray for them. And if we could title this morning, it would be Him, Them, and Us. For these He prayed. You may say, preacher, that sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. There are 3 distinct sections in this prayer. I looked in this Bible. I have a Bible that I started out preaching with. It's in my car now, and I looked in it to see if it divided this prayer into 3 sections, and it did. There were 3 different people, 3 different groups that were being prayed for in this one prayer. That was Jesus Himself, the disciples that were there, and you and I today. I believe that He prayed for all of those in the order that He prayed them in. And I believe that as He was praying, and the Bible tells us in other Gospels that He said to the Father, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But if not Thy will, I'll do Your will. Not my will, but Thine, Lord. If it would be Thy will, let it pass. But if it's not Thy will, Lord, I'll do Your will. He was praying for Himself. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If I told one of you this morning that you had to go to a cross, I believe you'd be praying for yourself. I believe He knew that what was going to happen. I want you to know something. The Lord had left the Lord's Supper. He left those that He just had the Lord's Supper with. And they've done a few other things. And then He gets down here to the Garden of Gethsemane. And He leaves them and He says, you stay here and don't sleep lest you fall into temptation. He wanted them to hear this prayer, I believe. He told them, He said, don't sleep lest you fall into temptation. And I believe as we get over here to the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe this was a very intimate prayer that He prayed. And I'm going to say today, and I'm going to stand firm on the thought that God prayed for me in this prayer. I'm going to stand upon the belief that God loved us before we were ever even born. I'm going to stand upon the belief that God knew that there'd be a little boy that needed salvation. They called out to Him one night on his knees. I'm going to stand today and say that God loved me before I ever knew about Him. This prayer that He prayed. You know, as He left the Lord's Supper, He told them, He says, I'll not eat with you until we eat together in heaven. I'll not do that again until we get there. You know, I believe He loved those disciples things with. I truly believe that. I believe He loved them and He taught them things as they were here on this earth. And I believe they listened to the teachings that Jesus Christ let them know about. I believe He taught them everything that He had so that they would be ready when the time came. And He knew. I want you to know, going into this Garden of Gethsemane, He knew that He would never leave there a free man again. He knew that. He knew that time was coming. 33.5 years He'd spent on this earth. And He knew that time was coming to an end. He knew that it was time to fulfill what He'd set out to do. What was He set out to do? He was set out to be the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I told you last week about the altar of God. Well, the altar was being prepared and it was fixing to happen. He knew this. I told you there were 3 distinct groups that He prayed for. Himself, the disciples, and us. He prayed for Himself. I have hit that and I've labored that a little bit. He prayed for Himself. He said, Father, I have done the work that I've set out to do. I'm fixing to fulfill. The thing that You've asked me to do, I'm fixing to go. And I'm fixing to pay the sin debt for this group of people. I'm fixing to die for this whole entire world.
And I told you, not in this version, not in this in this account that John had, but in other accounts, he prayed and he said, "Father, if it would be thy will, please let this cup pass from me." He knew he was fixing to take the cruel cross. And I believe he got down here, and I believe just as you and I would have, he would have said, "Lord, if it be thy will, let somebody else do it." But you know what? He knew. He knew it had to be him. He knew he'd been sent by God Almighty because he said, "I have done the work that you've set me to do. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." That's the fourth verse. And then he says in the fifth verse, he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Father, I'm fixing to go. I know that I'm going to the cross. I know where I'm going. But Father, glorify me because I have done the work. I'm going to pay the debt that I'm supposed to pay. I preached a few Sundays ago. Maybe the Lord has been setting us up to get to this point about the price I owed or the debt I owed but couldn't pay. I'm fixing to go for them, Lord. I'm fixing to die for their sins. Glorify me in this. Lord, allow you to be glorified because I'm being glorified as I go to the cross. And if it had been you and I, this is where we'd have stopped. We'd have prayed for ourselves and then we said, "Forget the rest of them." But the Lord loved us far more than to just pray for himself and say, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done." He didn't just leave it there. He didn't just say, "Forget the rest of them and go on." No. He knew there was going to be a work that was going to be carried on after he left. He knew there were disciples here. And if we read over in the 16th chapter, the two verses, he said, "I have overcome the world." He knew there was fixing to be trouble on every hand for his disciples. Of those that he was leaving behind, those that he loved, those that he walked with. Those that he called out to be his apostles. Those that he called out to do his work. He knew there was fixing to be a time when there'd be nobody with them. He was fixing to leave. He was going to go away. And there'd be nobody there to lead them and guide them and direct them in the way that he had been. But he knew something. He knew something far greater than what they knew. He said, "Father, they're mine, but they're also thine. Father, these are yours. And I know they love you, and I know that you love them." I told you that our thought this morning was him, them, and us. You know, as he started to pray, and as he prayed, I believe his prayer was working up to the very end. I believe he was praying harder and harder and harder because he knew that someday there'd be a group of people. There'd be people that would be born into this world, and they'd never see Christ physically. They'd never have that ability. You and I have never seen Christ physically. But we've seen him spiritually through the eyes of our faith. And he knew that. And I know maybe I'm rushing through the disciples a little bit this morning. But they got their prayer in. But this one here is special to me. Why? Because I'm included in this. Because at some point, you and I would be born. You know, since Christ has gone, there have been a world full of people that have been born. There have been a world full of people that have died and gone on to their eternal resting place. And you know what his main goal was? Is that they would be saved. That they would know about his name. That they would know that somebody went to the cross for them. And I want to mention this verse to you this morning. 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, Peter was writing and he said, "I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And I want you to remember today the reason that we're going to take this Lord's Supper is in remembrance of what Christ did for us. How his body was broken, how his blood was shed. He's going to do that for us. But I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want us to remember today that Christ prayed for us. He was heartbroken over having to leave. He was heartbroken. He was praying for us before he ever went to the cross. He was consumed about those that would be coming. You know, I know that he knew this. I know that he knew that there would be a church because he'd set it up, and I believe he told us that there would be a remnant somewhere until he returned. And I believe he was concerned about his church because he loved them. And I believe we're included in that today as those of us that will take a part of this Lord's Supper at Mount Calvary. I believe that he was praying for us before he went to the cross. I believe he was praying for our souls before we were ever even born. Now you may say, preacher, that's a little fanatical, and maybe you've lost your mind. But I'm going to tell you something. As Christ went to the cross, he wasn't just dying for those that were there that day, that were standing around the cross. He wasn't just dying for those that lived then. He was dying for those that would come after them just as much as he was dying for those that had been there that day. You know, I believe as he left this garden, as he finished his prayer here, you think about that this morning. Him, them, and us. For these he prayed. We've got the him, we've got us. And you know who else I believe he was praying for? I believe he was praying for those who are fixing to do what they're fixing to do to him. I believe he was, he tells us as he's on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive those that are doing this to your son because it's part of your plan. It's the reason that I had to come. It's had to be fulfilled. And I got ahead of myself. That happens from time to time. But as he was in this garden, his prayer was coming to a close. You know, his time as being a free man that could walk and talk in his ministry, it was coming to a close very quickly. Because the hour was coming that he would have to go. He'd have to bear the cross. You all know this. I'm preaching nothing new to you today. I hope that I'm not preaching anything new to you today. I never want to preach anything new because the Bible's the best book there ever has been. It's been preached down through the ages of time. And I'm going to tell you something. There's not a new thing in here. So if you were expecting maybe a new twist on the Lord's Supper, I don't guess I've given it to you very well. But I'm going to tell you something. As he left this garden, I want you to know something. We all know about Judas and how he betrayed the Lord. Well, he knew that. He knew all about it. He prayed for him, them, and us. His time's coming. And this time was now. I believe I can almost in my mind's eye see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. I can just see him getting up. And I believe it was a prayer that probably took everything that he had. I believe it was a prayer that he prayed from the very depths of his being. Because he loved us. And I'm going to prove that love to you this morning. He got up. And as he began to leave the garden, here they come. He'd been betrayed. Here comes some officers, some Roman soldiers to get him. And they get there and he asks them a question. He says, whom seek ye? He knew just exactly who they were looking for. He knew just exactly who they needed, who they wanted, what accusations had been made. If you were here during the revival this last year, I preached a sermon, Jesus Christ on Trial, and I'm not going to go in out of the whole act of going to Pilate and going through all of that because I want you to know something. All of that is very important, I believe. I believe all of these are very important. I can preach from Genesis to Revelations in the Bible, and I believe that it is all important. I believe that it all matters. I believe that there's not one thing in there that God doesn't want us to know about. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you about the most important thing that happened in the Bible. And I'm going to stand upon this today, and I'm going to contend that Jesus Christ going to a cross, dying and being resurrected was because of us, and it's the most important thing. I'm going to stand upon the fact that had he not died, had he not been laid in the grave, had he not arisen from the grave, there would be no hope for us. I'm going to go a step further this morning. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says there's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his brother. And I believe as Christ took the cross, I believe that he was doing that for his brethren, for those that he loved, because he knew that there would be a no greater sacrifice, as I preached about last Sunday. You know, I could give my life for you and you could give your life for me, but there's no way that I can take your sins and you can't take my sins. As Christ was the perfect sacrifice, as he took the cross and became the sacrificial lamb for all of us, as he did that for you and I, there's no greater love than that. There's no greater love than somebody going to a cross. And we're going to take a little bit here and a little bit later. The bread that is a representation of Christ's body. We're going to drink of the grape juice, the blood of Christ. It's a symbolic thing that of Christ's blood. We're going to take that. And I believe I can prove to you today that Christ's body was not broken in any way before he died. Just as the bread that we'll take in a little while, it's not broken now, but it will be for us to serve today. But his body was not broken as he took the cross. But Christ did take a beating for you and I. He was beat beyond recognition, beyond what this world could see. He didn't even look like what Jesus had looked like. He didn't even look like himself. His countenance was different. And then his blood poured down upon the cross. Oh, I can just imagine the Roman soldiers beating him, mocking him, nailing him to the cross, putting him up, and the blood beginning to flow. There had to be some blood that was coming out. They'd driven nails in his hands. They'd punctured his side. They'd put a crown of thorns upon his head. They'd done all of this, and he was praying for us. He cared about us. That's why he did it. He didn't have to. The Bible says that he could have called 12 legions of angels to carry him away. He could have, in the moment that he was on the cross, he could have very well said, I'm done with all of this. Lord, just come get me. I've suffered enough. But because he loved us, because of himself, because of the disciples that were there, and because of us, he went to the cross and shed his blood freely, willingly, for you and I, because he loved us. He didn't have to. But I'm going to contend this morning that there's no greater sacrifice that was ever made than the one that Christ made on the cross of Calvary. I told you that I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance this morning. And there's a lot of things that I remember in life. There's a lot of things I forget. You all know that. There's a lot of things that I'll never know. There's a lot of things that I've forgotten that I used to know. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. You and I can never get too far away from remembering that Christ died for us. It should never be far away from us that a sinless man, a non-guilty man, a person that was innocent, took the cross for you and I. And I'm going to say this morning, as we stir up your pure minds, by way of remembrance, the reason that we take the Lord's Supper is to remember what Christ did for us. As members of Christ's church, and we know today that to be a member of God's church, you've got to be saved by grace through faith in Him. Who? Jesus Christ. In His blood that He shed for you and I. You've got to be that. Then you got to be baptized. I told you that he prayed for him, them, and us. In us, I told you already that there was a church. And I believe he knew. Because I believe God, and I believe they know, I believe he knows everything. I believe that he could look out. And I believe he could see his churches that would be spread out across the world. I believe that he knew that there would be churches they would be set up. And I believe he wanted them to remember why they were there. Why it mattered what they were doing, what they were doing. You know, in order for us to take this Lord's Supper today, we've got to meet some conditions. First, we've got to be saved. Next thing, we've got to be baptized into God's church. And in order to take it with this body, you've got to be a member of this body.
And we're not doing this today as habit, as
something that we're doing just because it was on the schedule. It was on the calendar that said the first Sunday in December, we're going to do Lord's Supper. I don't believe we're doing it for that reason. I believe the Bible says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And you may say, preacher, how can you connect the thoughts of him, them, and us? He prayed for them into remembrance of me. Long before we were born, God was already remembering us. So it's our duty today to remember what he did for me and you. Amen. It's our duty to never forget. Oh, there are things in this life I've told you that I do forget. But I'll never forget what Christ did for me. I'll never forget how he saved my soul. And I believe as we take of this Lord's Supper, as we take of this today, let us not do it because it's something that we think we're supposed to do. Let us remember that there was a man that lived 2,000 years ago that loved us before we were here. You think about this. The night that you got saved, the day that you got saved, he'd already been praying for you. The Bible says that we are as sheep and he comes looking for us. I believe Christ went looking for me one night. And I believe that he found me and I've never forgotten it. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful that Christ saved my soul one night on my knees. And I'm going to go one step further. And I'm thankful to be a member of his church. I'm thankful to be a member of a body that still serves the true and living God. The one whose body was beaten for me. The blood that was shed for me. You know, I believe, and I may have said this last Sunday, but I'm going to say it again because I believe it to be the truth. I believe he would have went to the cross if it had just been one person. I believe he would have done that. But there's a whole world of people today that have forgotten about him. They've forgotten about his name. They've forgotten about what he did. They say that there really wasn't a man named Jesus who died on the cross. And if he wasn't really the true God, the true King. They say that. I've heard that all my life from people who have tried to dispel the thought that God, that Jesus Christ could really be who he was. The Jews, if we won't forget, they had Christ and they turned away from him. They're still turning away from him. Because they didn't think that he was the true Messiah, the one that was truly to come. They've forgotten about him. They say he's a good man, but they don't believe he's the one that was truly supposed to come. But I'm going to contend this morning that he was the one that was supposed to come, and that he's the one that died for you. And now he's the greatest king, he's the greatest savior this world will ever know. Amen. And people are forgetting about him. And he prayed for him, them. He prayed for us. He prayed for us. And you say, who's included in that us? There's a whole lot of us included in that. I believe he was praying for those that might be saved. I believe he was praying for those that would be saved. But you know, I'm going to say today, there's a whole lot of people that are turning away from the precious name of Christ. And I believe today, as we take of this Lord's Supper, we ought to be so thankful. We ought to be able to say from the very depths of our soul, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. And thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed upon Calvary. You think about the love that Christ had for us to pray for us here. He was going to the cross. He was fixing to be betrayed. And yet he still took the time to go to the Father, to get down on his knees. I can just see him in a prostrate condition. How he was there and how he was praying, his blood. And I'm sweating like it ain't nobody's business today, but I can guarantee you it's probably worse than what I'm doing. But his sweat was turning as great drops of blood. Now, I pray, and I pray often, and I'm not boasting, building myself up, because I'm going to tell you something. In order to get up here and try to preach, you better pray. Amen. And ask God to help you. Every one of us ought to be praying every single day. But I have never prayed so hard, and there have been times in my life that I have prayed for different people, prayed for different things, and I've prayed for this church heavy and hot a lot of times. But I've never gotten in a state that I have sweated drops of blood. Now, what does that tell you about the condition that he was in? Does that mean he got down on his knees and he said, "Well, you know, Lord, I'm fixing to go to the cross. It might hurt a little bit. If you want to let this slip off for me, you just let somebody else go on and do it. And the disciples I've got, you know, they'll be all right, I guess. And those that will come after them, you know, if they get saved, that's all right. If they don't, that's okay too." He didn't say that. He didn't go that route. He got down and he prayed earnestly. He prayed in a condition that I have never been in. Because of why? Because he loved us. And then he went. And 2,000 years later, on December 6th, whatever day it is, at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, a congregation of baptized believers that have assembled themselves together as members of this congregation, his prayers are still getting through. They're still manifesting themselves today because people are still getting saved. Because his church is still going forth and they're still doing the things that he wanted them to do. They're still teaching that you've got to be saved through him. And that's exactly why he prayed. Because he didn't want people to fall off into paganism and all of these other different things. And the things that they would get into, and we can read into some of Paul's writings about the things that some of these countries, these cities they fell into. Oh, and I believe it hurt the Lord's feelings. And I believe there's a world full of people today that are hurting God because they have forgotten about Him. I want to read some verses of Scripture to you, and I'm going to try to close this morning because I have not meant to worry your patience. I know we've still got to get through the Lord's Supper, and I'm thankful that we have that to go. A lot of times we get in here and we say, "We've got to be out by 12 o'clock. I'm on no time schedule. Hope you aren't either this morning. I want us to serve and worship the Lord because I believe that God is deserving of it. I believe he tells us as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Now, I want to say this morning about the Lord's Supper. Me and Brother Coleman were talking this morning about how many times people did it, how many times they didn't do it. You know, the Passover, which we were talking this morning, was done one time. Maybe some people in their mind say you can do the Lord's Supper one time a year. Well, that's their belief, I guess. But I believe as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Now you can do it 1, 2, 500, however many times you want to do it. But I like the way we do it. I like that we have it 2 times a year. Why? Because as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Now you say, "Preacher, if we do it every Sunday, then we'll remember him every Sunday." I'm going to tell you something. If we did it every Sunday, it would become such a habit that we'd forget why that we are doing it. We would forget why we are assembling ourselves together to commune together as God's church. And it would become a habit. It would become just another thing that's part of our worship service. But I'm going to tell you something. As we do this today, let's remember why that we are doing it. I want to read these verses of Scripture to you, and I'm going to try to connect them, and then I'm going to close if the Lord will be our helper. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the 23rd verse. 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, 23rd verse. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and body and of blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." And I'll stop my reading there, but I want to say this. In the 23rd verse it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now the same night that he had been in the Garden of Gethsemane, he'd been betrayed. But before that, I may have mentioned this as I got started this morning. Before that, he had done the Passover, the Lord's Supper. He'd instituted that. He had let that come out. And I believe it's important to remember today that as he left his disciples, as he left those that were there, he had just left them, and I believe that he knew that he would never be able to be with them in such a way as he had been already. He knew that he was leaving. He knew that he was going to die soon. He knew that his time had come. And this morning in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about Christian fellowship and how it's good to be close to the Lord. He tells us in the Bible that the Comforter will come. That Comforter is His Holy Spirit. And I believe that to be the truth. I believe that God comforts us. I believe He's with us with His Spirit. Now, I'm not a Catholic, and I don't believe that these turn into the actual body, and I don't believe they turn into the actual blood, but I do believe this morning that when we take this, we get close to the Lord. I believe it's something that Christ asks us to do. And you may say, "Preacher, how are you going to connect this to Him, them, us, for these He prayed? How are you connecting this to the Lord's Supper?" If He could remember you and I in an hour that He was fixing to be betrayed, in an hour that He knew that He was fixing to die, is it too much of a stretch for us to give Him the time that He deserves today to remember what He did for us, how He prayed for us before we were born, and here we are today reaping of the things that He set out for to happen? His church, people being saved, we're a part of that. So as we think about this today, is it not good for us to know that He prayed for us? He prayed for this assembly today. He prayed for the ability for us to assemble today. And as we come together, after He had done all of these things, after He had done the Lord's Supper that night, He prayed and He was betrayed. But yet He still loved us enough to go to the cross of Calvary for you and I. And I'm thankful for that. I have, many times in my life, I have not been as thankful for things as I should be. But there has never been a day that since I've been saved, that I could not thank the Lord for what He's done for me. I pray that you, as members of this church, visitors of this church, friends of this church, whoever that you might feel that you fall in, I pray that we never get too busy, too high-minded, too out in the world to forget what Christ did for us. I hope and pray that, and I hope and pray as we come together as Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church and eat at the table of the Lord, I hope we'll do it in a solemn remembrance of what He did for us. Let us go back. Let us reflect on what Christ did for us a long, long time ago. You know, it was 2,000 years ago, and I told you that I forget a lot of things, and I can't really remember what I did last week. But you know, 2,000 years has been a long time. And I believe the Lord's coming back someday, but I'm going to be thankful for this one day after a while. I'm going to see the body of Christ in heaven. And I'll see Him as He is there. And I'll get to see Him in all of His glory. And as we take this today, we're going to see the elements. This is not His body, and this is not really His blood. It is a symbol of what happened. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Him, them, and us, for these He prayed. He could have very well not done that. He could have very well not went. He could have very well given up and said, "I go home to be with You, Father. I've done all I can do." Yet He took the great burden, the great cross of Calvary, walked it up Calvary's hill, the hill of Golgotha, nailed to a tree, died on a cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. And then the best part about it is, 3 days later, He rose. And the first sermon I ever preached from behind this sacred desk, He is alive. He's alive today. I'm thankful for that. May God bless you. It's our prayer. Him, them, and us, for these He prayed. Let us stand together. Let's have a song. If you're lost and undone without the Lord, I know maybe I haven't talked to you much today, but you still have an opportunity to seek the Lord. Any time that we're in this church, any time the doors are open, this altar is always, always, always open. So may God bless you. It's our prayer. Let us stand and let us sing.